Yeah, we have a, we have one in our neighborhood, across the road from us. She's 86 years young, and she has been a blessing to us. She really has, and sweet lady, loves the Lord. She's not able to get out much, but anyway, she's nice. She really is, and it's good to look at her people if you can. You know, I might need it someday, you know, and I hope somebody will look after me. Sure. Well, it's good to see one of you today. See, the skiers are back, all survived. Anybody get hurt? Bruised, maybe, sore. But nevertheless, I'm glad you all had a good trip. It's a beautiful day for it, I know that. But it's good to have all of you in the class today. The kids' class is in here. Turn to John chapter 3. We're going to be dealing with some very familiar verses here today. We've been talking about this month's So Great Salvation. So great salvation. If you're saved today, there's nothing that ever has happened or ever will happen any greater to you than being saved. I'm thankful tonight, today, to know that I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. It's all because of Him. It's nothing because of me. And but we're talking about so great salvation as you look in John and chapter number 3 today. And again, thank you for being here in Sunday school. And we trust that God will bless our time together, and that you might be encouraged in the Lord today from being here once again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for this time together that you've allowed us to be here in your house. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your word that we can open. We can read it and study it together. And dear God, that you might, I pray today, encourage us, enlighten us. And God, if there's one in our midst today that's not saved, Lord, I pray today somehow, may the Word of God, Lord, deal with that heart, that life. Lord, help them to see their need, Lord, before it's too late. Thank you for those that are back with us that have been sick. We do pray for Ms. Joyce to continue to guide there and give the doctors the wisdom they need to help her. Others that are sick, Ms. Taylor, Lord, please be with them. Frankie, Mother Johnson, Lord, the list goes on and on. Lord, we do pray for those that are out today for whatever reason. Thank you that some are back that have been sick, even though they're not feeling the best, but they're back, and we thank you for that. Now, Lord, we commit this time to you and ask God somehow today, Lord, may you use the Word of God to encourage everyone that's here today in your house. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In John chapter 3, we'll begin reading with verse number 14. First of all, we're going to review a little bit from what we've talked about so far. Someone said that John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. Years ago I heard that, and that's very true. It's the gospel. It talks about the gospel, what God did, what Jesus did for you and for me. And it's very true. We've been talking about, if you please, the great gospel mystery. That is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's a mystery. That's a godly mystery. How God could love mankind, this world, me and you. Me and you that don't fear God, don't trust God, don't love God. But yet he loves us. My, what a God we know, what a God we serve today. But the great gospel mystery, how God did that. How, why he would do that. We saw last week also how he did it. He did it, again, through the Virgin Mary, through Holy Ghost conception. God became a man through what we call incarnation. And we're grateful today to know that God provided a way for mankind to visibly see himself, see God, and therefore trust him as their Savior. Realize who God is. You and I have never seen God, have you? Anybody ever seen God? None of us have. But he was here on this earth for 33 and a half years, and people did see God, and that's why God came to earth, so he could manifest himself to us, his creatures here on this earth, and know them, know each one of us. So that's what we've been talking about for the last couple of Sundays. Now, today we want to talk about the great gospel duty, the duty. In other words, we see in John chapter 3, beginning with verse number 14, let's read together. John 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now notice here in verse 13, again, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The great gospel duty is simply this, that whosoever believeth in him, that whosoever believeth in Jesus, that whosoever believeth in God, that's the duty of every person that's ever lived in this world, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's made it possible for people to believe in him. And it's our duty, even as a Christian also, to help others to understand they need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that whosoever believeth in him, what does it mean to believe? It means to place your trust in somebody or something. When you believe someone, we're talking about putting our trust in God and in his word. Remember what Jesus said in John 14, 1? He says, in my Father's house? No, it says, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in who? God, believe also in who? In me. See, that's what Jesus said. If we believe in God, we ought to also believe in Jesus. That's believing, that's trusting, that's taking his word. Paul said in Romans 1, 16, says, for I'm not ashamed of the what? The gospel, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation to who? To everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's believing. That's taking God's word as being true. I believe the Bible is true, from cover to cover. From Genesis 1, 1 to Revelation 20. 122, all of it is true. Therefore, we need to take God's word as true. Amen. And God's word is what we need to help us in our life. We all are sin sick. Really, we're all sin sick. We need a shot of medicine, so to speak, something that will help us, and it's the word of God. It's the word of God. If I had a bad disease, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor told me I had a bad disease, whatever it was, he said, I can give you some medicine, and if you go down, I give you a prescription, you go down to the pharmacy and get it filled and go home and take this medicine, and it'll heal your body. Okay, I do. I get the medicine, I bring it home, I set it on the counter. I don't take the medicine. I go into my life a few days, what's going to happen to me eventually? I'm probably going to die because I'm not taking the medicine that will help me. Okay? Well, likewise, we have the Bible to help us as individuals. First of all, to get saved and then to live our life on this earth the way we want to live, ought to live. If we don't ever partake of this in our soul, in our heart, we're going to get weak, we're going to be fainting, we're going to stumble, we're going to fall, we're going to be discouraged. All kinds of things are going to happen to us. Why? Because we haven't taken what we need, what we've got available for us to help us, to strengthen us. So we find here that's necessary, that whosoever believeth in him. Now we find here in verse number 15, that whosoever believeth in him. Notice this. This here is words that are directed to who? To me and to you that read the word of God. You know, I'm so glad the Bible speaks to us individually. Individually. Also, as a group it does too. But when I read the Bible, when you read the Bible, it speaks to me individually, to my heart, to my life, because I have a need for the Word of God. You have a need for the Word of God. And we see here, the Word of God is directed to me that I might benefit myself from what God has provided for me and what God has provided for you. He says that whosoever believeth in Him, that's again, for me and for you. This is God's positive purpose for Christ to the unbeliever. God's purpose for the unbeliever is they believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in Jesus Christ. The consequences of not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is judgment. Condemnation. It's self-condemnation. We find later on these other verses we're going to read in just a minute. But we find it's necessary. It's not God's primary desire for man to be condemned and to be judged. It's God's primary desire for man is to believe in Jesus Christ. To believe in Jesus and trust Him as their Savior. Now we notice verse number 15, the second word is that whosoever. We see the breadth, if you please, of this invitation is given. It's given to everybody, that whosoever. We sing the song sometimes, whosoever meaneth me. I'm glad today to know that, aren't you? Whosoever means you as an individual tonight, today. It means everybody. Salvation is not limited, if you please. It's not restricted to any race, any color, or any class of people. Salvation is to everybody. It's to everybody that will believe. It's available. See, unbelief, the unbelief darkens a man's soul. It darkens a man's soul. And we find, therefore, if his unbelief in itself is admission of his sins, admission that he is a sinner, because he will not repent of his sin. He will not allow the Word of God to reveal to him his sins, get him out of that darkness, that the truth may be revealed to him, that he might understand his need to be saved. You see, the problem with me and most people today in the world, because they're not saved, is because they don't realize they're lost. Do you find it hard witnessing to people to find people that are lost today? I tell you, I can't hardly find anybody that says they're lost. Very, very seldom do you find somebody that admit they're lost. Therefore, in order to be saved, you have to be lost. I really believe that with all my heart. It wasn't until I found out and realized, hey, I knew that Jesus died for me. I've been told that. And I believe that he would die for me on the cross, was buried, rose the third day. I realized that a long time. But it wasn't until I realized that if I died where at the time that I was living at that moment in my life, I'd go right straight to hell because I hadn't trusted Christ as my Savior. I hadn't called upon Him to save me and repented of my sins, you see. And therefore, if I knew I was lost, and when I got to that point, then I realized I needed to be saved. And then I trusted Christ as my Savior. So we're talking about that whosoever believeth in Him. This is, again, the great gospel duty. This is a duty for every individual in this world today. Do you have friends? Do you have relatives? Do you have loved ones that have never called upon the Lord? I do. We need to be trying our best to present the gospel to them in some way, that they may call upon the Lord. They may believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, you see. This invitation here, that whosoever believeth in Him, this invitation is directed to you and I, as we read it, that we might respond to what God has provided for us and what God has provided for mankind. That whosoever believeth in Him, that whosoever believeth in Him. Now, to believe is more than just having the head knowledge or agreeing to the fact that Jesus is Jesus. He's God's Son. That's not believing. That's having maybe knowledge about Him. But it's different than believing. Believing is an action verb. Someone said that believing is receiving. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're wanting and desiring to receive Him as your Savior. See, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is very important. It means to put our trust and our confidence in Him alone for what He can do for us. He's the only one that can do anything for us. He's the only one that can save us, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to put Him in charge of our present plans. Today, He's in charge of my life, of my destiny, my eternal destiny. He's in charge of that, you see. It's to put Him in charge of my life. Believing is trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, His Word, relying on Him for everything in my life, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's necessary to look to Jesus Christ and believe on Him. I want you to look back to an Old Testament example of what we're talking about. I'm talking about that whosoever believeth in Him. Turn back to Numbers chapter 21, the book of Numbers. We find it read right here in John 14, which we just read a few minutes ago. Let me read the verse again. John chapter 3. I'm in John 3. Y'all in Numbers 21. John chapter 3, verse number 14 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now let's look back to that, what we're talking about here. In Numbers chapter 21, and when King Herod and the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if those will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then will I utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. These are the Israelites, they're beginning discouraged. And verse number 5 says, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. In other words, God was feeding them, but they didn't like what God was feeding them. You know, that's kind of like we are. You know, mama prepares supper, you sit down, and I don't like this. You ever done that? We all guilty of that. Well, here they were in the wilderness, and God was feeding them, providing for them, and they got tired of it. They got tired of it. So they began to murmur and complain. And look at what happened in verse number 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people died. Now, something strange about these fiery serpents here. Why are they called fiery serpents? We find here that they're called fiery, first of all, because of their color. They were like fire, you know, reddish tint. They would look like fire. They were red. Also, we see they were that because of their rage, their desire to get you, you know, like a wasp, you know, going to fly around and sting you. Well, they were kind of like this. They're rage, and also for their effects of their bitings. When they bit you, they killed you. They were so poisonous that they killed you. These fiery serpents were here. So because of their murmuring, because of their complaining, God sent these fiery serpents around them as they journeyed along the river there, the Red Sea. They were there all the time, no doubt. But God, at this time, because of their complaining, he sent them out, and many of the people died. Many of these people died because of that. Therefore, verse 7, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. They came to Moses, their leader, and they said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away their servants from us. How many times have they done that for Moses? Asked Moses to go before the Lord for them. My, time and time and time again. See, Moses was their intercessor to God. Our intercessor is Jesus. He's our intercessor. I'm thankful for that today to know. But Moses, notice, went before the Lord, and the Lord went before the Lord on behalf of the people. And verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass. Now, brass is speaking of judgment. It means of judgment. Brass, judgment. And put it on a pole. And it came to pass, and if a serpent had bitten any man, he beheld the serpent of brass, and he lived. See God's mercy? We're talking about that who's ever believed in him. But here we find the children of Israel. They were murmuring, complaining about what God had not done for them. They brought him out here in the desert now, and we're here going to die. And here they are, these flying things around, biting people, and people were dying. You know, they come before the Lord and come before Moses, complaining and asking, admitting that they'd done wrong because of this. And now Moses intercedes on behalf of the people, and God intervenes here. What does it do? He sets a post in the middle of the camp so to speak, and he puts a brass serpent on top of that pole. He says, okay, now Israelites, if a serpent bites you, all you have to do is look to that serpent and you'll be healed. You'll be healed. Okay? So we see, what is this? The serpent he lifted up in the wilderness, we see God's chosen way to heal these people. To heal these people. Likewise, we see on the other hand, Jesus lifted up on the cross. He provides spiritual healing and also for all sinners. So we see the picture here of what took place here in this situation, you see. The Israelites were complaining to God and to Moses, okay? The serpents were biting them, and many were dying because of this. The people came to Moses, and Moses prayed for the people. And then God commands Moses what to do. Now, the people, all they got to do is, when they get bit, look up to the serpent on the pole, and by their faith, look into that, they're trusting God to heal them, to save them, so they don't die. Well, if the serpent be lifted up on the pole, Jesus must be lifted up today, okay? Look to Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, can be saved. Now, Christ was made what for us? He was made sin for us. He was made sin for us. See, for it was sin that was killing us, folks. Sin is what destroys us today. The little word sin, it sounds like a snake. Sin will hurt us. Sin will deceive us. Sin will destroy us if we're not careful. So Christ was made sin for us. Now, as we look to Jesus Christ, how? By faith. As we look to him by faith, we can be forgiven. We can be forgiven. We can be saved. We can be saved. Christ had to die before we could be saved. You know that? When man sinned in the Garden of Eden, and we find that God cast him out, of course, we find that sin had to be paid for. There was a price to be paid now for sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. It's death. The Bible also says, without the shedding of what? Blood, there is no remission of sin. After man sinned in the Garden of Eden there, someone had to die. Somebody had to die. Somebody had to give their blood. The problem was, though, the one that gave their blood had to be sinless. Had to be sinless. Therefore, mankind was disqualified completely because all men have sinned. We all have sinned. So we see, for sin to be dealt with, sin to be forgiven, someone had to die, first of all, that was sinless. They had to die. We had to find someone that was sinless to die. Not only did that one had to be sinless to die, but that one had to be willing to die. He had to be willing to die, too, for the sins of the world. So we find, who did that? Jesus Christ, God's Son. He was the perfect Son of God. He came here and lived as a man for 33 and a half years to prove that he was sinless. Therefore, he was qualified to die. Not only was he qualified to die, he was willing to die for you and I. Therefore, we find that Christ died for us. Every one of us, because we're all sinners. His death brings what? It brings life. To you and to me, it brings eternal life. We talk about that over in John chapter 3, you see. So, again, Christ experienced our judgment when he was lifted up on the cross. Our judgment when he was lifted up on the cross. Now, go back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 again, where we'll start with. Let's notice some more verses here. Notice in verse number 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? What kind of life is that? Eternal life. Have eternal life. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, we're going to talk about that next week. But also in verse number 16, it says, but have everlasting life. Now, what's the difference in eternal life and everlasting life? Okay? We find next week we'll talk about that. But notice now in verse number 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to what? Condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. What's God's purpose for sending Jesus into the world? That the world might be saved. The world might be saved. Who's the world? The world, again, is people, again, who I mentioned also, that does not fear God, does not love God, and does not trust God. God, Jesus Christ came in the world to save me and to save you. My, I'm so glad for a Savior such as Jesus Christ, aren't you? He loves us in spite of us. He came into the world as God's agent. He came as an ambassador, okay? He came here as a resident. He lived on this earth for 33 and a half years for you and I. He didn't have a home like you have and like I have. He lived here, though, for 33 and a half years for you and I. And we find he came, when he came to earth with salvation. He came with salvation, providing for me and you. And for everybody that I trust him as our Savior. So we see that God's purpose for sending Jesus was that the world might be saved. Now notice also that whosoever believeth in him, verse number 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on who? Tell me. Jesus. He that believeth on Jesus Christ is not condemned or not judged. Okay? But notice he says, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The word believe here is mentioned quite often. This is the great gospel duty, is again for people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That whosoever believeth in him, the Bible says, to believe in Jesus. Why? Because he was given for us. First of all, he was given for us. Jesus Christ came to earth for you. He came for me. He came for us. He came as our substitute. He came to die for us, folks. My, what a Savior we have. He came to die for us. Not only that, he was given to us. He was given to us. He's my personal Savior. If you're saved, he's your personal Savior. He was given to you as an individual, you see. He came to you. He came for us, yes, but he came to us. To us. Now, to believe in Jesus Christ is why he come. To accept this gift. How do we accept this gift? How do we accept Jesus Christ? We must give up our own selves, so to speak. We must let him be our ruler in our life. Again, I've said this many times. Jesus Christ wants to be Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. In my life and in your life, you see. So therefore, we find that to accept this gift, we must give up ourselves. We must let him be the ruler. He must teach us all things that we need to know. And then we find that we can be saved by him. We must trust him as our personal Savior. Now, how do we do this? How? Those that believe in him. How do we believe in him? What do we believe about him to be saved? Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Very familiar passage of Scripture. What do we believe? What do we believe in order to be saved? What we believe. We know it as the gospel. Okay? We know it as the gospel. That's what we have to believe to be saved. Now look what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? Gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are what? So you're saved by what? The gospel. You're saved by the gospel. You're saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Notice verse number 3. For I delivered unto you first of all which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What must you believe to be saved? First of all, believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. This is what we must believe. That whosoever believeth in Him, that is Jesus Christ, what do we believe about Him? That He died for your sins. He died for my sins. Okay, that's number one. We must believe that Christ died according to the Scriptures. Now, look at verse number four. And that He was what? Buried. Not only did He die, but He was buried. We must believe that in order to be saved. He died for my sins. He was buried for my sins. That's two things, okay? Now notice the last thing. And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now that's the gospel. Jesus Christ died for me. He was buried for me. He rose the third day for me. That's the gospel. I must believe that in order to be saved. I must believe that in order to be saved, you see. See, he that believeth that can be saved. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy what? Heart, that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, that whosoever believeth in Him, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe He died for me, believe He was buried for me, believe He rose the third day for me, that's the gospel. And when you believe that, calling upon the Lord, He will save you. He will save you because you believe that He died for you. So, these are the things. Now, notice the gospel. I quoted a verse a while ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Notice that the gospel is powerless to save. Notice, the gospel alone is powerless to save unless we believe. Lest we believe. Knowing the gospel, knowing that Jesus died, He was buried, He rose again, is good to know. But believing it is, again, it's an action word. You accept it, and you believe in your heart that. Therefore, if you trust Christ as your Savior by hearing that and believing the gospel, you see, it's one thing to hear, but if not believing it, it doesn't do you any good. Like the medicine I talked about. If I'm sick, if I don't take the medicine, it ain't going to heal me, is it? I'm a sinner. If I don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He's not going to save me, is He? He can't. He can't. Because we're not doing what He asked us to do. Now, when we answer this intention here of this giver in verse number 18 of John chapter 3, what happens? He that believeth, the Bible says, is not condemned. He that believeth is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. See, when I believe in Jesus Christ, I put my confidence in Him and Him alone, okay? I rely on Him. I trust in His promises for my salvation when I call upon Him. Therefore, because I've done that, to believe on Him, I act according to His truth, His Word. I trust His Word when I believe in Him, okay? And then I go to Him. I go to Him as a lost sinner. I humble myself before Him and I ask Him to forgive me my sins and give it to my heart. And when I do that, He saves me. We see then, what am I to do? I'm to act to Him. I'm to act to Jesus Christ as a Savior for my sins. I believe He died for my sins. I've trusted Him as my Savior. That's why it's so important when somebody... If we ever have the privilege of leading somebody to Christ and asking them to pray the sinner's prayer, to try to encourage them immediately to get up and go tell somebody what happened to you. Go tell somebody what happened to you. See, it kind of puts the ceiling on it, so to speak. They have confidence that what they did was true. They believe what they did by their actions, you see. See, We can sell a lot of things and mean well by it. But you'd have heard this before. Our actions speak louder than our words, you know. So this is what happens here when we trust Christ as our Savior, you see. So what do we say today? To rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look into Him for salvation. Salvation is a word for who? The lost people. They need to hear it. They need to be saved. Salvation is a word for lost people today in the world in which we live. See, so we see, we talked about God's plan. God became a man. God became a man. He became a man for you and for me, that He might die for you and for me. He became a man, you see. That's the gospel, the great gospel mystery. Today we talked about God's purpose. God's purpose. That is that whosoever believeth on Him. That whosoever believeth on Him. We find that this is the great gospel duty. It's the duty of every person to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's our responsibility to do that. See, God in Christ is trying to reconcile the world to Himself by saving it. That's God's plan. That's God's desire. God wants everybody to be saved. You believe that? I believe He does. I really believe He does. But not everybody will be saved. Not everybody will be saved. I'm glad you're saved. I'm glad I'm saved. And may the Lord help us to realize we have a responsibility, folks. We have a responsibility. We talked about God's plan. We talked about God's purpose now in John 3:16. Next Sunday, we're going to conclude in John 3:16. We're going to talk about God's promise and God's provision. God's promise and God's provision. That is, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's putting the icing on the cake, folks, as far as I'm concerned with salvation. Salvation is great. Aren't you glad you're saved?
Amen.
Glad you're on your way to heaven today. And, you know, if I never see tomorrow, I'll wake up in glory one day. You know, we talk about it often, many times, you know, about laying down tonight and going to sleep and not waking up no more in this world, but waking up in heaven. One day, folks, it's going to be reality. The Lord's going to come. Eastern sky is going to open wide, and we're going to be called up, either because we're alive, because our body's been buried. We're going to be called up together to be with the Lord. We have everything to look forward to, folks. The world has nothing to look forward to. But as an individual who's been saved, trust Christ to say, we have everything to look forward to. We really do. Thank God for His so great salvation. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the word that You preserved for us to help us to understand, Lord, how You love us, understand Your plan, understand Your purpose, Lord, for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, here on this earth. Lord, I pray today if there's one in this class that has never trusted Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, God, the Word of God will just deal with their hearts and, God, draw them to Christ before it's too late. Thank You, Lord, for the word. Thank You for this class. Lord, bless now the service we're about to go into. Bless the singing. Bless our pastor. Lord, anoint him afresh. Give him power. Give him the ability to share with us what You've laid on his heart. God, I just pray Your will be done in the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.